with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Than never, I hope, and I hope this is going out. I just got back from our medical odyssey, drove over to get the boss and Margie yesterday, drove over yesterday evening, because I knew what the weather was going to be. Oh, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is our home. It's Thorn in the Side Thursday, and I'm already pretty well gouged. Ow! Yeah. Then this morning, we got up and drove the hour and a half to Charleston, and then this afternoon, we drove back the hour and a half from Charleston. And then I turned around and drove the should have been 2 hours back home, but it turned out it's got to be a little bit more than that simply because, well, it's winter. And in a failed state like West Virginia, you really can't count on the roads being, you know, clear when it snows. So it was kind of creep and crawl along up over the mountains time. Should I have anticipated that? Yes, probably. But even though I anticipated it, wasn't a hell of a lot I could do about it. So we got a little late start. It wouldn't have been quite so late, but I got into the studio and found out that because I love PCs, I have become absolutely, I do. I just love PCs. I got into the studio and found out that the streaming PC had crashed. So that necessitated a little bit of futzing around. And, I'll do that. I'll do that, Michael. Michael in the chat room noting, whatever, Bob. Get a damn helicopter. You got priorities. Yeah, but, you know, some of this stuff you can't fly in. We can't fly the Bobcopter, and the Jetstream 5 is just not worth a damn. It just sits there in the hangar. Maybachs aren't a lot of fun on this kind of highway, so, well, right. No. The Mac did not crash, Tim. I said the streaming PC crashed. No, sorry, Ron, I'm not going to diss on the Mac. Ron noting, I assume you're also going to diss on the Mac after all. It's about balance, isn't it? No. There's no balance involved here. PC just crashed, because that's what PCs do. PCs crash. I guess I've jumped headlong into the Apple. So far, I'm having a lot. It's a nice machine. The streaming PC crashed. And so that necessitated a restart, and then I had a bunch of buffering going on oi, but we're here. I'm here, let the bells ring out, the banners fly, it's too good to be true, but I'm here. You hold a. Yeah. Michael in the chat room, this is what you get after a day of withdrawal symptoms, Bob. Pissy, cranky fans. Ay. So we've got a nice crowd, and, you know, thank you so much for your patience. I really appreciate that. Great crowd in the chat room this evening. You can be part of that great crowd in the chat room if you want to. Just go by HeadOnRadioNetwork.com at the time when the show program is live, i.e. from the hours of 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can be part of that great crowd. Let's see. Good evening, Anatole. Good evening, News Ninja Carol Baker. Good evening, Carol Abel in Australia. Good evening, Devin. Good evening, Doctor Who. Good evening, Gerald. Good evening, John. Good evening, Jug of Punch and Kathy. Good evening, Labor Man. Good evening, Michael. Good evening, Ron. Good evening, Texas T. And good evening, Tim from L.A. And, of course, good evening to indefatigable, inveterate, veteran chat room moderator and third stage guild navigator, Sparky, who has folded space this evening to be both Sparky and Man Cave. Don't be quite so encouraging there, Marty. Marty says, listen, a Mac is a PC. Yeah, and if it's made by the hand of man, it will crash. And when a Mac goes down, look out, it ain't pretty. Please, just leave me my illusions for a little bit, okay? Just please. So here we are, the 12th day of February, 2015. The program is live. And yes, headonradionetwork.com is where you go to jump into the chat room and be part of this merry, merry band that is gathered together this frozen freaking Thursday. Well, see, okay, so we're off and running. Thank you, Gerald. The PC crashed. The streaming PC crashed. Thanks, Obama. That's my first thanks, Obama, in a couple of days. And by the way, Gerald, we need a little information. Among other people, Nikki was looking for it. I haven't heard the latest on the rally for working people this coming Monday, which will be President's Day. This will be the 16th of February. I'd appreciate it if you'd let me know the details, maybe a little bit later with a call or just type it into the chat room or whatever. Where to go? Well, it is the 12th day of February, 2015. Abraham Lincoln would be 206 today. His life, of course, cut short by the bullet of a supporter of treason against the United States of America, as defined in the Constitution of said United States. But he would have been 209 today. I think it's a little ridiculous to think he would have. You know, it's arguable that he probably was sick enough, he probably wouldn't have made it out of his 60s. Might not even have made it into his 60s, absent the activities of that proud son of the South, that proud son of old Virginia, John Wilkes Booth. John Wilkes Booth, Robert E. Lee, same, treason, treason, treason. But anyway, it used to be that Abraham Lincoln, the savior of the Union, got his own holiday. But not anymore. February 12th is just February 12th, and there's lots of people whose birthdays were on February 12th. This is the birthday of John L. Lewis, iconic leader of the United Mine Workers of America. Yeah. Died 1969 at the age of 89. And there was a time in this state when workers cared about their rights, when if you were a worker in the coal industry, you probably had, and Sam Huff was the one who said this, the legendary football player from WVU. He said, where I grew up, yeah, there were two pictures hanging on the wall in West Virginia, Jesus Christ and John L. Lewis. And you can make an argument that John L. Lewis did a hell of a lot more for a lot more people in this state than Jesus ever did. But no, Abraham Lincoln used to get his own holiday. Now we just sort of roll it all together in President's Day so that on February the 16th we can honor Abraham Lincoln and George Washington, both of whom had February birthdays. But it's President's Day. It's the day for all the presidents. So we're not just going to honor Lincoln and Washington. We're going to honor Grover Cleveland. We're going to honor Millard Fillmore. We're going to honor Richard Nixon. and that greasy-headed old B-movie actor, Ronnie Reagan. Hell, we'll honor George H.W. Bush on President's Day. We'll honor Warren Gamaliel Harding, who, up until George W. Bush arrived, really had no competition as worst president in the history of the United States. Let's see. Abraham Lincoln saved the Union. George Washington, father of his country. Warren Gamaliel Harding. Grifty Republican criminal. Richard Nixon, anti-constitutional criminal. You know what? I didn't have enough time to go and do the research on this. Anybody want to find out and just inform the rest of the Horn Family Commune congregation? Where did the idea of President's Day come from? Because I have a theory. It may be simply a product of the wild, raving paranoia that rages in my being, but I have a theory. I have a theory that we have President's Day because of Southerners who were getting a little bit pissed off at celebrating Abraham Lincoln's birthday all the time, what with him making them stay in the Union and everything. So maybe if anybody wants to do any homework, that could be kind of interesting. Was Abraham Lincoln's birthday merged into President's Day either because of a Southerner or a modern Republican, arguably racist? Or both? Maybe we'll find out later. There's a ring of the cowbell for anybody who wants to do that. Oh, by the way, I didn't even mention, but I want to send thanks out to Dave. Dave was kind enough to kick in the fundraising effort yesterday evening in my absence, and that is much, much, much appreciated. And I had a note yesterday evening from our buddy Tom in the Bay Area. Tom says, I've always liked the Hobbit idea of giving gifts on your birthday, and my birthday is this weekend. So let's make it Tom's birthday challenge. Can we double it? Tom says he's got $200 that will go in the into the mail if there are enough people who will pull together $200 so he can match it. You're 10 at 20, you're 20 at 10, you're 2 at 100, you're 4 at 50, you're 8 at 25, you're 6 at $33.33. Well, however we pull that together, Tom will double it in celebration of his birthday. We're calling it the Spank Tom Challenge. Tom's calling it that. So you get a chance to administer a birthday spanking, cybernetically, to Tom out in the Bay Area, if we've got enough people this evening who jump out there and put forward $200, which will help immensely because of last night's unavoidable absence. Well, it's huge. It's just huge. But but wait, there's more. In addition, Tom says, I want to ask specifically listeners to the Horn who have never contributed to take this opportunity to start. If you'll contribute and send Bob an email telling him about it, that you're a first-time contributor, I will double that up to $100 in contributions by the 21st. $100 in new contributions, I'll send another $200. So you getting this? We got a $200 challenge on the table this evening. We've got a $200 challenge through the 21st, but the second challenge is only for people who have never contributed to the Horn before. And you have to put in the message with the PayPal contribution or send me an email saying, I'm in, I've never contributed before, but by golly, I want Tom in the Bay Area to double it. I want to help spank Tom. Again, Tom says, so come on, spank me for my birthday. And, of course, Tom, living near the Bay Area, is near water. He adds, I'm so glad you've got a Mac. I used to get so frustrated with my last PC that several times I nearly threw it out the window to see if it would float. I've had my Mac for 5 years now. All better. So that's mind-boggling. There's $400 in challenges on the table. So, $200. See how it works? $200 challenge and new listeners. There's a separate challenge just for you. New listeners, $100. $100 from new listeners. And Tom will double that, too. Okay, this in from News Ninja Carol Baker. President's Day is largely a retail holiday. Explanation in the chat room. Now I want my cowbell. And that was an extra a double dose of cowbell. Thank you. Thank you, Carol. So that's a pretty big deal from Tom. Of course, you can take part in it by going to headonradionetwork.com and using the PayPal interface. And again, if you're a first-timer, let me know, and I'll let Tom know. And the other challenge is just for everybody. Let's see, explanation, okay. In 1968, Congress passed the Uniform Monday Holiday Bill, which moved a number of federal holidays to Mondays. The change was designed to schedule certain holidays so that workers had a number of long weekends throughout the year. But it's been opposed by those who believe that those holidays should be celebrated on the dates they actually commemorate. During the debate on the bill, it's proposed that Washington's birthday be renamed President's Day to honor the birthdays of both Washington and Lincoln. Although Lincoln's birthday was celebrated in many states, it was never an official federal holiday. Following much discussion, Congress rejected the name change. After the bill went into effect in 1971, however, President's Day became the commonly accepted name, due in part to retailers' use of that name to promote sales and the holiday's proximity to Lincoln's birthday. President's Day is usually marked by public ceremonies in Washington, D.C. and throughout the country. Hi-yee-hoy. Yeah. Well, that answers my question. Thank you. See, that's the neat thing about this community. When I'm feeling stupid about something, we can sort out the stupid. By the way, speaking of birthdays, happy birthday yesterday to Barbie. Her sister, Carol, celebrated hers earlier in the week, and yesterday was Barbie's. So a very happy birthday to you yesterday. Would have wished it to you yesterday had I been here, but day late and a dollar short. But happy birthday, Barbie. So, this is, without a doubt, undeniably, Thorn in the Side Thursday. And technical aspects of it notwithstanding, it started out living up to its name. So, by the way, Ron pointing out, LBJ was president when the Monday holiday bill was passed, Democratic, but a Southerner. The last real Democratic president? No, Ron, I don't think so. I think Jimmy Carter was a real Democrat, too. You can tell by virtue of the fact that right-wingers and Republicans continue to slur and sleaze his name. Yeah. So, there's that. So that part of my theory is... I didn't realize, but that's the other part I didn't know. I didn't know Abraham Lincoln's birthday had never been formally celebrated as a holiday as such. The things you learn. Probably ought to be. I mean, you know, saving the Union and everything. But no. It's about 5 minutes before the hour, and again, I apologize for the late start. But the rest of the week, to wit, tomorrow, Friday on the front porch. Should be A-okay. And as far as I can tell, I don't think there's a heck of a lot to interfere with us next week either. Some big news this evening. We've been waiting for it and waiting for it, but it has the news has just come down today. It's another historic day. Remember this day. And that's true. That's true, Carol Baker. Dude, what the hell is a news ninja if she doesn't teach? So true. So very true. No, breaking news today, and hopefully it's made it a little ways around the interweb tubes. And I'm looking for the official word on it. Today, mark this down, today, the 12th day of February 2015, the congressman for Kentucky's 3rd Congressional District, John Yarmuth, on the anniversary of the birth of another Kentuckian who facilitated the salvation of the Union and in the process made a more, not perfect, but made strides toward a more perfect Union by eliminating the vile and hateful institution of slavery, Abraham Lincoln. Today, John Yarmuth, in conjunction with New York Congresswoman Louise Slaughter, who herself is a born Kentuckian, reintroduced the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act. That bill was first introduced in 2012 and has been reintroduced this day. Mark it down. The AKE Act, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, is now H.R. 912. Congressman Yarmuth said, "We cannot sit idly by as this harmful mining method destroys our environment, contaminates our water, and jeopardizes the safety and well-being of the American people. As scientific evidence continues to mount showing the harmful health effects of mountaintop removal, this legislation will provide those impacted with the protections they are owed. The American people deserve to be safe in their communities, and the AKE Act helps to do just that." Congresswoman Slaughter added, "Scientific evidence demonstrates that mountaintop removal mining puts Americans' health at risk." At risk of birth defects in babies born near mining sites. People in mining communities have the right to live and raise their families in a safe, healthy environment, and reckless, profit-driven mining practices that contaminate the air and the water are putting that in jeopardy. Until we can ensure that the health and safety of surrounding communities is not compromised, we should place a moratorium on new permitting for mountaintop removal mining. Now, you, as members of the Horn Family Commune congregation, are well aware of what the AKE Act means. It means a step toward freedom. Real freedom. Not the 29 different kinds of breakfast cereal to choose from in the grocery store kind of freedom that commercial America would tell us is what freedom is. No, the freedom to live your life, to raise your family, to nurture your children and your grandchildren without worrying about when the next visit to the doctor is going to come with the words, "I'm sorry, he has cancer. I'm sorry, she has cancer." That's what the AIC Act means. And I do not, and I've been sort of part of this, but I'm pretty sure that the bill dropping on this day was not intentional. This is simply a matter of things in the universe working out, at least in this little low-rent corner of it, working out the way they should. On the 209th anniversary of the birth of the Kentuckian Abraham Lincoln, a member of the Kentucky delegation of the House of Representatives introduces a bill that would be life-saving and freedom-giving for untold numbers of people who live in the sacrifice zone that is Central Appalachia. In the press release, my buddy and colleague, Bo Webb, said, "Oblivious to our pleas, state agencies still hand out permits for this deadly process. Kentuckians rallied today for the 10th anniversary of I Love Mountains Day. On March 16th, West Virginians will demand that our state acknowledge the science and halt mountaintop removal permitting. But we need federal action for this multi-state public health threat. The AIC Act is the single most important bill before Congress today to save countless lives, end mountaintop removal, and allow a path forward to building a sustainable Appalachia." It's a fact. My dear friend, Lisa Henderson Snodgrass, is the daughter of Goldman Prize winner and personal hero of mine, and I don't have a lot of heroes, but Judy Bonds was one of them, and Judy was Lisa's mama. Lisa said, "The mountains are blown to pieces, the communities have been scattered, and the few of us who have stayed and tried to save what is left are facing death from the polluted air. The only way to fix this, the only justice we can be given, is the passage of the AIC Act." And yes, Judy Bonds, Lisa's mama, died of cancer in 2011. So it's time for us to get busy again. It's time for us to start writing members of Congress, writing senators. And because I will submit, don't sit there and think, well, I mean, this Republican Congress ain't going to do shit. You know, a bunch of assholes. Don't do that. Because this bill needs support. And what it needs, now that it's been reintroduced for the third time in the House of Representatives, it needs to be introduced in the Senate. And I think we could actually wind up making more noise about this and setting the table for passage of this bill now with Democrats in the minority in the Senate, but perhaps willing to be a little bit more militant. You know what I mean? So get busy. I know a lot of you, a lot of progressives, a lot of liberals in this country feel like they are much better represented by the likes of Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. Email them. Tell them. Quit sitting around. How long are you going to wait? How many more hillbillies have to die before you will stand up for an American citizen who doesn't happen to be your constituent? Screw comedy. C-O-M-I-T-Y. Screw Senate politeness. Screw Joe Manchin. Introduce the bill. Tell Bernie Sanders that. Tell Elizabeth Warren that. Tell Ed Markey that. Tell Sherrod Brown that. Barbara Boxer's not gone from the Senate yet. By God, tell her that. Tell Jeff Merkley in Oregon that. Because as long as they sit around and play these patty cake games, these footsie games,
oh, you know, that's a regional issue. I don't want to step on the toes of Senator Manchin. You know, he's a good moderate. Oh, bull.
If you're not introducing the AIC Act in the Senate, you are an active participant. You are in the poisoning of thousands of people in Central Appalachia. By the way, lean on Lamar Alexander, Republican of Tennessee. He is said to despise mountaintop removal. It's time for him to get moving. Lean on Corker. He hates it too, because neither one of them want to see mountaintop removal expanded more than it already exists in Tennessee and getting closer and closer and closer to, you know, what Republicans care about. The money, namely the tourism dollars going down to Dollywood and Pigeon Forge and the Great Smoky Mountains National Park. Lean on them. You think just because you're in Alabamistan it doesn't matter? Hell no. Tell Jefferson Beauregard Davis, Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III, that you want this bill in the Senate. Don't let them hide. Ask Rand Paul and that thing on his head. You know, Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist. Ask him why it is that people who live in mountaintop removal communities can't have the liberty to not have to breathe toxic filth every day of their existence. Let's get with it. It's fun to have something to really get excited about and work on. Thank you, Marty. Marty noting a standing ovation for Representatives Yarmouth and Slaughter. And thanks very kindly, Brett. Brett in Missouri. I just got a note from Brett telling me first-time contributor, and that takes up one-fourth of the new contribution challenge that was issued by our dear friend Tom in the Bay Area. So there's $75 to go to match that for new listeners. Now, if we happen to just fill that up at a dead run hurry, well, we can carry that over into the other challenge too. But there's $75 new listeners only for that challenge. On the other hand, there's $200 out there that Tom will match for anybody, and we kind of need to do that given where we are fundraising wise in this short month. And thanks to our buddy Thomas Jug a Punch in the chat room for jumping in and getting us started on $200 Spank Tom for his birthday challenge. So we got $190 to go there. Interesting observation, Doctor Who, in the chat room. Yeah, those hillbillies have a right to work. Who cares if their wages are paltry and they're being poisoned? It's a free market, baby! Exactly. Exactly. And at some point in time, human lives have to take precedence. I'd say, you know, and let me note one more thing that's important about the AIC Act. And you won't necessarily find this in any press release. And that is this. There is not a single anti-fracking bill in the Congress of the United States. There is not another bill opposing mountaintop removal in the Congress of the United States of any consequence. There is not an anti-Keystone XL pipeline bill in the Congress of the United States. There's not an anti-tar sands bill in the Congress of the United States. Everything that the so-called environmental movement is doing right now in the Congress is in the way of playing defense. And that's all well and good, and you've got to have a defense and an offense. But for far too long, if you are part of the environmental movement, and I personally resist that because I said that term, because I feel a whole lot more like, insofar as people's lives are at stake, this is a human rights movement. I think it benefits us to be on the offense once in a while. Have you ever noticed that when the Republicans are not in the ascendant, when they are not in the majority, that they're constantly introducing crazy-ass bills, just throwing anything at the wall and seeing if it'll stick and grab the attention of the mouth breathers and the knuckle walkers? We don't do that. I don't know why. Because it keeps the other side on their toes. Make no mistake, although they won't probably admit it, the coal industry is very unhappy today. And they're probably trying to figure out what they can do to try to remove Representative Yarmuth from office. And there are probably going to be some campaign contributions against Representative Louise Slaughter, too, up in New York State. Because it is an article of faith that one does not cross the coal industry. Yeah. But that's okay, because Representative Slaughter and Yarmuth are representatives with the courage of their convictions. And I'm grateful as I can be that they're there. I wish I had somebody in West Virginia that gave a rat's rear end about actual people who have to live with the nightmare horrors of mountaintop removal. But no, instead, I've got Joe Manchin. I've got Shelley Moore Capito, daughter of the single most corrupt man ever to occupy political office in the state of West Virginia. I've got Evan Jenkins, who replaced Representative Rahal. And Representative Rahal didn't much care about what happened to innocent people living in mountaintop removal communities. Now, he'd get out and make a lot of big mouth noises about the heroic coal miners, but not so much about the people who just have to deal with what the coal miners do to them. We've got David McKinley. I'll save David McKinley for his constituent, Devin. Devin's in the chat room this evening. I'll bet you he could say a few words on Representative McKinley. And then, of course, there's the new guy, Representative Teabagger, whose name for the life of me I can't... Oh, Mooney! Mooney! Rhymes with Looney. From Maryland. He's a guy from Maryland who actually represents a whole bunch of West Virginia now. Yeah. And just to tell you a little bit, before we go into other stuff, and I'm not going to let this down, I'm not going to just filibuster about the AIC Act for an entire program, but there's a lot of detail that needs to be known. Do you know, and this is not by way of criticism, it is just a fact, do you know that the AIC Act was introduced in Congress without so much as a dime from the Sierra Club? Not one thin dime. Those of you who have been listening for a while may recall that I was spending a good bit of time in Washington, D.C. Bo Webb and I both were. Ferg went up and learned to be quite the effective young advocate in the halls of Congress, as did Margie, as did Doodle, as did Agnes. And it is through those efforts and a few others that... We made the progress that we have made on the bill thus far. It used to be we had a little apartment in the basement of the Methodist building there across from the Supreme Court of the United States, and that was our headquarters. We would go up there and live there, and we would eat beans and rice for a couple of weeks and get up every morning and go and take meetings and got a lot of interest. And for as few as we were, we got a lot of signatures. We had to stop that last July. We ran out of money. In the case of Bo and I, in many instances, we went up there on our own dime. That's what it's like when you're the grassroots. The Alliance for Appalachia. Imagine that, calling yourself an Alliance for Appalachia, and you've never spent a moment arguing in favor of the AIC Act in the Congress of the United States. Appalachian Voices. Imagine that. You call yourself the actual Voices of Appalachia. Of course, they're down in North Carolina. They have never advocated on... Okay, one time they've advocated on behalf of the AIC Act. Once. This is a grassroots effort, make no mistake. And you are a part of those grassroots. You do not have to be from Appalachia to understand that people in Appalachia probably ought not be poisoned to death indiscriminately for profit. They shouldn't be poisoned to death for profit discriminately, for that matter. But when you pick up the phone, when you go to your keyboard, when you send that email, when you make that phone call to your member of Congress and say, get on the bill, you are a part of the struggle, the grassroots struggle. There's no big greens here. There's no multi-million dollar trust funds here. There's no six-figure executive director salaries work going on here. It's a bunch of busted-ass, broke-ass hillbillies trying to save lives. What's that favorite line of mine from John Sayles' brilliant film from the mid-1980s, Matewan? All we got in common is our misery. The least we can do is share it. Puts those words in the mouth of a fictional UMWA labor organizer. Hell of a lot of truth to it, too. So we'll be talking about the AIC Act going forward. And we'll be talking, and by the way, just because, you know, I'm not going to use this for any fundraising purposes or anything like that. But if you decide to contact your elected member of the House of Representatives, or you contact your senators, shoot me an email. Bob Kincaid, BOBKINCAID, @gmail.com. Or send me a note on Twitter, @BobKincaid, or let me know over at my Facebook page. Let me know that you're out there advocating for a future where little children aren't born in Appalachia gasping for their first breath, where they spend more time with an asthma inhaler in their mouth than they do with a binky. Let me know. Because, among other things, I mean, I won't give any personal information, but it'll be nice to drop that on the desk and say, Congressman Yarmouth's office and say, listen, people all around the country are rallying around you to do this. Can you do that? Please? Yeah. We do have quite a bit of thorns to play with this evening on Thorn in the Side Thursday on the Horn. Because we were a little more than a half hour late getting on the air, phone lines are open now, 304-663-4676. That's the Gizmo line, 304-663-HORN. The other line, 304-574-8178, 304-574-8178. We call that the Skype line. You don't have to have Skype to use it, but that way when you hear somebody hear me say, and over on the Skype line, you'll know it's you. If you're on the Gizmo line, that's how you'll know it's you. So whatever your thorn in the side is, you are welcome to bring it to the table. Just for the fun of it, let's run over to the Gizmo line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
What's happening?
This is Gerald.
I know.
Hey, you know, just another day in Appalachia.
Yep.
Hey, I have that information you were looking for.
Oh, goody, yes.
Or some information. Oh, where the hell? Well, I'll get it here while we're chatting.
Well, it's Monday the 16th of February, the rally in Charleston.
From what I can gather, it starts at 11 o'clock on the south side, which is the riverside.
The riverside, right.
Yeah, the main entrance. And I guess everybody's going to be there. I don't know about everybody, but there are a lot of people going. They were talking about it at work today, so I'm not real sure if I'll make it, but I'm going to try.
Well, I was talking with I was talking with Boss Man Wayne yesterday, and I told him, you know, I'll be willing if they want me to do it, I'll be willing to go down and stream it.
Here's what I'm concerned about. I mean, we've got a lot of good causes are going to gather there Monday, and I just are they even going to be there? You know, it is a holiday.
No, it's a holiday. Nobody's going to be. I guess Senator Kessler will be there to rally the troops, so to speak.
Well, okay. But, you know, here it is. Rally at the state capitol on Monday. Starts, be on the steps at 11 a.m. So, yeah.
Well, I hope there's a big turnout. And, you know, it may actually work out better, Gerald, if all the legislators aren't there. Because if they're not, and maybe they turn on the news that night and they see that a few thousand people who really don't want to have their wages slashed showed up, and that all those people are, you know, voters, maybe that'll matter.
Well, let's hope so. I do. Apparently they've worked out some sort of compromise on the prevailing wage bill, or the repeal of the prevailing wage. I'll get it out here in a minute. It's been a long day.
I understand.
Last I heard, they were going to put a cap of $500,000. Projects under $500,000 were not going to be subject to the prevailing wage, and they were going to modify the wage calculation formula or how they do it. And I don't know the way they do it now is they send out the Department of Labor sends out the surveys to union and non-union contractors all over the state.
Right.
And they say, you know, this is what type of work was done, what to the classification of each trade, what did they do, how much did you pay? And that's for every county in the state. And the word I hear is the non-union contractors, for the most part, don't even bother to answer the survey.
That's been the case for years, has it not?
From what I understand, and I also understood that there's a lot of counties that the trades didn't have any work in, so there's no rate for that county. So it's all tied to the state rate.
It's all put in effect by the State Department of Labor, correct?
Correct. Yes. And you know they've been doing the survey just how they're supposed to do, how they were mandated to do it, and so we have the. I know Carmichael from Jackson County was a big, one of the big negotiators, I guess. I found the article here real quick. He's touting the compromise, which I guess it could have been a lot worse. I mean, really.
Well, I mean, and to be fair, and I really do. I want to be fair about this.
Me too.
That threshold, that dollar value threshold,
yes,
had been in place since the bill itself was passed, which was 19 God knows when. And that threshold was what, $10,000?
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, see, when the bill was passed, $10,000 was a lot of state money to spend on a construction project. Yeah. Now you can't get a lobbyist to answer your phone for less than $10,000.
Personally, I would have liked to have seen the threshold set about $250,000, because that this $500,000 hurts a lot of small contractors, like the one I work for.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't do that kind of, you know, those kind of jobs.
He doesn't, you know, he doesn't get the $1 million, $10 million, no.
Well, yeah, I mean, he does, but not usually. But, you know, we do a lot of the small jobs, and they, you know, that's the thing, you get in, get out, get it done. But I see here that Phil Kabler has posted on the Gazette site that the Senate Bill 361 has passed the Senate with a 23-11 vote. It revamps the bill for repeal. We knew that. I'm trying to read here real quickly. Compromise amended, past 6 days. Rates were determined. Will be transferred from the Division of Labor to Workforce West Virginia. That's Job Service and Unemployment Office.
Right.
And they'll coordinate with researchers from the Bureau of Business and Economic Research at West Virginia University and the Center for Business and Economic Research at Marshall University.
Yeah, there's a laugher.
Yeah.
I mean, we know who owns those departments, right?
Well, of course. Funded by the, you know, a lot of scholarships given out by the Coke industry there. And the threshold set at $500,000.
What, now, just because I try to, from time to time, Gerald, I try to think like, and believe me, it's painful, and it usually has to be followed by the administration of several doses of palliative 90-proof medicine. I try to think like a teabagger once in a while. I try to think like a Republican. And so I'm thinking, okay, we got this $500,000 threshold. We'll make sure that all the contracts are bid out piecemeal at less than $500,000.
And that's very likely to happen. You know, a school gym expansion, you know, might be come in at the engineer's estimate of $450,000, which goes completely around the prevailing wage threshold there. And of course, Chairman, Senate Government Organization Chairman Craig Blair, you know, our hero, he's argued that the system is out of whack. Pays high union scale wages, stating that our goal has been to get in the center where there is fairness. Now, you know, what's fair to you and I may not be fair to Craig Blair, who gets $20,000 for 60 days of work. This is expensive.
Nice work if you can get it.
Yeah, yeah. What a gig. And you can get, and you can get family on too. All you need is a little bit of money, a little bit of Coke money. And, yeah, we kind of figured this is a lot better than repeat. Say they won't try that in the next session. You know, they get one more anyway, for sure. But there, you know, there's other things that are even worse. We got the twins in the house. You didn't see that one coming, did you?
Oh.
What's my question? You know,
and by the way, just ancillary to that, remember, and thank you for the pronouncer. It was representing Corchuba, who said, rape is babies are beautiful.
Right.
So, behold, because the goddess irony never did. She never sleeps. She never talks. Well, a man raped a woman. He saw her at a bar. Folk, Andy.
Dressed provocatively.
Oh, well, yeah. There are
she
people,
was in a bar, you know.
If she was in a bar in a burqa, she was dressed provocatively, right?
That's right.
Yeah, because rape is something that women are responsible for stopping.
Well, was it a legitimate rape, though?
And Todd Akin is studying right now to find out if it was.
Okay.
Having raped her, our Arizona rapist says to his rape victim, and I'm not kidding, now you have a baby. Bless it and take care of it.
Well, isn't that nice?
I'm sure the Republicans are celebrating this guy's commitment to life.
I would say, yeah. the money is probably pouring in for the support of that baby. Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, only not.
Yeah.
Let's see. Right. A woman woke up on November the 4th at around 4 a.m. to find 54-year-old Tilford D. Vaughn standing naked behind her bathroom door with a large serrated bread knife. He made her lie down on the bed. He raped her while holding the knife to her throat. The woman's friend, who was also in the bed, woke up and struggled with the suspect, but the knife wounded the man so badly that he was later forced to have surgery to repair the nerve damage to his hands. Both victims felt they would die if they did not obey the rapist's commands. According to court documents, Vaughn told the woman, "Now you have a baby, bless it, and take care of it." He has at least been busted.
Thanks, Obama.
Yeah. His DNA matched the DNA that he left with his victim. But it's interesting that the Newsinet notes that recently State Representative, West Virginia State Representative Brian Kirchhoff apologized for saying that rape babies are, rape is awful, but rape babies are beautiful. What is beautiful is the child as the production of the rapists.
The stupid, it burns.
Yeah, and by the way, Marty asking the central question. And guy with a gun was where?
Well, can't be everywhere at every time. I mean, just like the police.
Ain't Superman.
That's right. Come on. If she'd have been armed now, that'd have been different. Should have had her freedom protector right there in the bed with her. Right?
Yeah, because that always works out well. Right there under the pillow.
Yeah. Well, anyway. I just wanted to get that information to you. That's the last.
Well, I appreciate it, and I'm going to do, if I've got the wherewithal to get the gas to get down there and back, I'll be there.
Well, shoot me a message or something if you do, and I'll try to look for you when I'm there.
Okay, and I mean, can I complain for a minute?
Sure. That's what makes this. It's a free country, Bob. You can complain all you want.
Freedom.
Yeah.
We're never. It seems like as progressives, we're never going to figure it out, Gerald. I'm almost tempted to make a sign that says "Environmentalists for Working People" or something. But because it's being treated as a labor issue. But look who the outreach is going out only to labor. You know what? I'm not a member of organized labor, but I personally know that I benefit by good wages in this state. You know what? My community is better. We've got, the corporations are never gonna pay the taxes, but you get what my point here is.
Yeah, I had a little run in with someone. I made a post about, I just shared something on Facebook about minimum wage. I don't remember exactly what the poster was exactly, what it said exactly. The $15 an hour minimum wage. Someone chimed in, business blackmail. It's giving away someone else's money. And, of course, my reply was, that trickle-down shit's worked out well, hasn't it?
Yeah, when I first entered the workforce as a pimply-faced little DJ, my minimum wage back then in, 1979? My $3.35 an hour actually had more purchasing power than what the minimum wage is now. Did it not?
Well, I'm sure. I haven't seen anything lately on that, but it's been a while. But yeah. You know what that's called, right? It's called inflation.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, when the power of your dollar is not as powerful as it was, you can't buy it.
But, I mean, I'm not kidding. I would like to see signs down there on Monday that say, Christians for good wages. Muslims for good wages. Jews for good wages. Environmentalists for good wages. Women for good wages. Gay people for good wages. And, I mean, because then maybe, maybe, Gerald, we might begin to figure out that this is, that, that, because it just, it dawned on me that the right wing has been ever so good at dividing us, and we are not so good at coalescing. Does that make sense?
Yes. We need more solidarity. Is that what you're trying to say?
And labor is the mother of progressivism.
John L. Lewis, by God.
Well, not that, well, before that, in the late 19th century, the Knights of Labor, the Grange, it was all, but labor gave birth to the idea that somebody else deserved to have it halfway decent in this country besides the captains of industry, besides the aristocracy of the old South. That mill workers were as important as mill owners.
I don't know if you saw it. Cecil Roberts had done a good op-ed in the Gazette today about that, exactly what you're talking about what's fair. And I didn't get to read it all because I was at work, and it's hard to read on the phone because I'm old and I can't, you know, my eyesight's not as good as it used to be. But anyway, it was very good, I thought, in explaining, you know, what do we do next? Do we go back to the company store? Is that fair? I mean, is that what we're after? Or the company camps where we rent from the company, where all these wages go right back to the company? Is that fair? Where's fair end? I think was pretty much his whole point. And, it was pretty good. But if you get a chance, you might check that out. And the thing about Monday is that's exactly what you're talking about. Everyone's got their own agenda, and I think in essence the message is going to be lost down there. I think there's going to be so many different groups gathering to kind of hijack it.
I mean, well, I'm all for lots of Gerald. I'm all for lots of groups showing up, but let's have an understanding of what the message is. The message is that we need good wages in West Virginia.
For everyone.
Right.
This is not a union or non-union thing. This is for everyone.
Right. Well, because union and non-union earn, you know, in the building trades, union and non-union earn the same wage. But the counterpoint to this, and I think there's something else, there's another teachable moment out of this. You ever notice that all the right-wingers ever talk about are jobs? You ever notice they don't talk about good-paying jobs? It's just jobs.
Well, what we make up for in quality, we'll make up for. We'll do in quantity, you know.
Right.
That's a good point to make. You know, Procter & Gamble announcing these jobs. What was it, 700 jobs, permanent jobs, up in the Panhandle, up in Berkeley County,
Martinsburg.
We don't have right to work laws here, or so-called right to work laws. I thought that's what was driving all these big businesses away. Our judicial hellhole. You know, we don't have any of this tort reform that they're pushing down everyone's throat right now. I mean, it's the same as it's always been. So this legislature isn't over. None of these bills have been signed into law, and yet Procter & Gamble says, "Hey, we're going to build a big facility here." That is never one of the questions that is asked. Or do you have a right to work in your state? You know, that's just a bunch of shit. And I just get aggravated. I really do.
With good reason.
I just don't understand, Bob. I really don't. What the hell is it going to take?
Well, you know, you know my very cynical answer to that, Gerald.
Well, yeah.
Turn off the cable.
Yeah.
Because you know what? Poisoning 300,000 people's water was apparently not enough.
No, we're going to roll that legislation back, which was weak to begin with. What little bit that was, we're going to roll that back.
Yeah.
Well, it was. What did they say? Too strong or?
It's too stringent. It was a job killing regulations.
I don't. I don't know if it said that. Oh, well, we're trying to regulate farmers' water tanks and things like that. Which I, you know, I don't know the specifics of it, but that's probably a bunch of bullshit. But, yeah, here we are.
Here we are.
Yeah. Not like the cable, Texas T says. Poor Gary Southern, I guess they're going to take the Bentley and the house in Florida.
He left with nothing but the Porsche and the Maybach and the jet and the boat.
I can't believe they're going up to the Bentley.
Not the Bentley.
It's so sad. It's just laughable. You just almost have to laugh about it, because if you don't, you just go crazy.
Exit screaming, right?
Yeah, something like that. But hey, I want to give somebody else some chance to get on here. But that was basically, I wanted to relay what I knew about that meeting at the gathering at the Capitol. At 11 o'clock, I guess it starts at 11 on the steps on the south side, which is the river side, the main entrance to the state capitol building.
Well, I just happened while I was down in Charleston today, I just happened to check my the speeds on my wireless internet via the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And the nice thing that I noted was that there was an abundance there for sending up a stream.
Imagine that.
So, if a fella could get a line in, coming out of the PA system, I think he could just about stream the whole doggone thing. I mean, if they're interested.
Yeah.
There's a lot of learning yet to be done about the use of media on our side. Not to say that I'm some font of wisdom on it, but I know a little bit.
Any radio station is better than none at all, right?
Right, and who's gonna carry the rally in its entirety? Metro, Poppy, Metro News.
Maybe Bray Carey will on one of his many news media stations.
Yeah, sure.
All that liberal media. Yeah, give me a break. It's all.
No, and right, and the local TV stations will edit it to make, assuming that Cecil speaks or something, they'll edit Cecil till he's saying, I hate God and America.
Yeah.
And they'll lead with that, because, Jesus, bless his heart. I don't know, on Facebook, Gerald, are you friends with Ed Rabel?
No.
Ed's mighty good people, and he posted in the wake of the Brian Williams kerfuffle, he posted a critique of local television news, and he spoke the truth. It's just dreck. It's bilge. It's worthless. It's meaningless. It's hard to disagree. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, I mean it's horrid. It really is.
And Ed's one of those old school no kidding liberals. That's why the West Virginia Democratic Party didn't want anything to do with him.
Yeah. Okay. Now I know where he. Okay. I place him now.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know that. Much like the nation, I mean, third parties just don't seem to work.
He just ran as an independent.
Right.
And, I mean, God knows he outdrew. It's funny, Ed Rabel running as an unaffiliated independent drew more votes in a single congressional district in West Virginia than a Mountain Green Party candidate running statewide.
I've followed the Mountain Party on Facebook, and I just don't know what to think of these guys.
I know a lot of people in it, and I respect them, and I consider them dear friends, but the Mountain Party is a joke.
It seems to me, and hey, I back them 100%. I'm with them, but it just seems to me like they want to stand over in the weeds and throw rocks.
Well, the fact of the matter is, if you really want to, it's if the energies of the people who are really dedicated to the Mountain Party were poured into changing and taking power in the Democratic Party?
Exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah.
I mean, it just the energy is there. The message is there. I just think they're going in the wrong direction. I agree with you 100%. That's exactly what I was going to say. Just take, we need to take the party over, take the party back. Well, I don't know that it ever was, really liberal here in West Virginia.
It had its moments.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it took this legislature to teach us a few lessons, Gerald.
That they're not invulnerable?
Well, not just that, but, I indict myself in this because I have said for a million years that in West Virginia, because I don't say this nationally, but in West Virginia we have Colocrats and Colicans.
Yeah.
That both parties are indebted to coal and will do whatever big coal and big hydrocarbon, for that matter, say.
I like to lump it all into big energy now.
Yeah.
Because you've got, the Marcellus Shale.
Well, the only reason I don't say big energy, I say big hydrocarbon, is because you're not going to find any either Democrats or Republicans in Charleston dancing to the tune of whatever big solar wants.
Well,
and solar is energy,
is there even such a thing?
No.
That's what I'm saying.
But the point that I was going after is that, it takes an election like this to even to teach me a lesson, and I'm not I'm not infallible, and I'm willing to admit. I'm willing to admit a mistake. I don't know that this was a mistake, but I think it is absolutely the truth that, for instance, when Democrats were in control of the legislature in West Virginia, they never had, there was never even a remote chance of right to work passing. When Democrats were in control of the legislature in West Virginia, there was never even a remote chance of the prevailing wage being assaulted. When Democrats were in control in the legislature of the state of West Virginia, there were never any bills to compel drug testing of welfare recipients. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Which
and a Democratic legislature at least passed that little pissant tank poison bill that these wild-eyed teabagging, don't read to me, Gadsden yellow flag, piss flag waving Republicans are hell-bent on passing. The Democrats never introduced a bill saying that if you had religious tenants, Jesus, tenants, if you had religious tenants, you could send little typhoid Timmy to school without vaccinations. Democrats never did that. The Democrats never introduced a fire social studies teachers bill. There is damned well a difference. And,
well, yeah.
And a lot of this puts paid to the argument that's put forward by so-called third parties. Because the Republican Party is not the party of the working class. They've got a lot of people snowed, apparently, and more people they've got convinced just to stay the hell home, and that's how November happened. But the Democratic Party is fixable. The Republican Party can only be made more fascist. The Republican Party can only be dragged further to the right. The Democratic Party, especially on state and local levels, is fixable. I mean, my God, if I was a Democrat in Alabama, do you realize how easy it would be to get the nomination to run for Congress in any district in Alabama or Mississippi? And you do that, and you go out there and you do the hard work of the kissing the hands and the shaking the babies, you might by God win. Now you won't have any help from the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, because they think that they think the road to victory runs only through the states on the coastlines.
Well, here's the problem with West Virginia. They think Joe Manchin is a Democrat. That's the problem. I mean, and he controls the Democrat Party here in the state.
The funny thing, though, Gerald, is you say that, but I have never met a Democrat who thinks Joe Manchin's a Democrat.
Well, I mean, he's pulling all the strings. I mean, Larry Puccio or whatever his name was. That, I mean, he was handpicked him to be the state chairman. I mean, how else? You know, hopefully that will all change now. But you know, that's Joe's big problem is he wants to be involved in everything. I mean, he wants his fingers in everything in the state. He's not happy as a senator. Now, I guess he's going to run as a run for governor again. I don't understand that, but okay.
It's more fun to be governor.
Well, it must be. Maybe it pays more.
There's more. There's more opportunity for graft and grift.
Grift.
And well, and if you've got a, you know, if you've got a taste for being a little froggy. Or a big froggy in a little pond, the governor's office is the place to be.
Well, yeah, that's true. Because you're the cat in the hat right there, aren't you?
Sure are.
I mean, the buck stops with you, at least on the state level.
And there are, and people will buy your baloney when you say, all I'm looking for here is balance. You know, Joe, you want balance, go get on a teeter-totter.
Yeah. Get a scale. I mean, come on.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, I've been saying it for a while, and the only way to fix it is for common working people to get on their county executive committees, even on the state level, run for those offices, and change the party from within. That's the only way it's going to happen.
It ain't rocket science.
I mean, that's not, am I wrong? I mean,
no, no, that's the only way.
The only way to fix it is to basically take it over.
You know, instead of holding, you know, instead of being a placeholder in the executive committee of the Green Party, if you're a real progressive, why don't you run for your county Democratic executive committee's membership and get in there and start laying about you.
That's right.
Go in and play hell among the yearlings.
That's right, and in the races that are uncontended, you know, like Kim Armstead, Speaker of the House, he's my delegate in the House, runs unopposed every 2 years. Nobody on the ballot against him, ever. So, you know, there's Tim Armstead, Elkview, West Virginia, right there on the ballot every 2 years. No Democrat runs against him. No one seeks the nomination. And, you know, we've got to get out and get people that are qualified or at least interested in their local politics to run for these offices. And, you know, there's no reason to give it to them. I mean,
right.
I don't.
No, empty ballot positions are a sign of a moribund party.
Well, yeah, I think they don't spend any money. They don't. And he's not the only one. I mean, Craig Moyer's another one. You know, they don't. They just run out of post, so they don't have to spend any campaign money. They don't have to do any work. It's given to them. I mean, all they have to do is to cast their own vote, and they win. So, you know, and I just don't understand why the party, at the state level, or even the county level for that matter, for God's sake, why they can't find candidates, viable candidates for these seats. I just don't understand why they let them go empty. Is there something I don't know?
I think a lot of people are afraid of running, for starters. A lot of people don't have the filing fee.
Well, fuck, it can't be that hard. I mean, you've got an 18-year-old kid in there right now.
Yeah.
Which, I have a story on that, but I won't go into that now.
Someone
told me during all these meetings, it was kind of funny. I might put you in an email. I won't put that one there.
Okay, but, sounds good. Sounds good.
I want to remain respectful.
I know. We're trying.
I mean, really, how damn hard is it? I mean, if someone who's never had a job, had to really make any life decisions, can get over to the state house, I think, what the hell are people thinking? I mean, really, that's the trouble of making this shit. She's 18 years old, just out of high school last year, started her career college, and now she's a state house to represent her delegates. She holds a seat. I mean, she's never had to do anything for herself. Yeah, she gets good grade stuff, and that's commendable. That's great. But, come on, I just don't think that's a good idea. I think people that are supposed to represent the electorate should have some life experience. Don't you agree?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, it's laughable, so sad, because you just you
But
I don't want to tie the line anymore.
Well, that's okay. The thing I was going to note is that one of the things that slows down in terms of running for office is a C. And look, a lot of people, especially on our side of the argument, and they look up and they go, I've made some mistakes in my past.
Well, yeah.
And I'm not going to ask, and they see how these Coke-fueled, Coke-funded, Coke-freak, Coke-whore Republicans with their D.C. sleazy consultants, they've seen how they run their campaigns.
Well, yeah.
I mean, let's see. George Smith has run our good God and legislature. Smith added his. He wants someone representing us who can't risk to go through that.
True. Be thick-skinned. But I still can't talk to that. It's some unidrates with the way.
Well, that's also. But you see, that's also should stay in KD.
Which ties right back into what I said.
Because it could be that self that you meant. You know, they elbow oven, they scratch my back, I'll scratch yours.
I'm not sure there is. But that was what I said originally. Like-minded people need to get in on their county executive campaign and get in there. I mean, you may not get elected again, but you never know. People need to do that. But until it's going to be the same.
Until people want differently.
Exactly.
Was it us? And it probably wasn't. But most men lives, white decision becomes bad enough that you're not quiet anymore. You'll take a lot.
It's an all. You need to take it all.
Yeah.
And even say this real quick. I want to get off with somebody else have lined. I'm not sure that maybe Republican hasn't overreached because they try to change the whole thing. Quitting wordy.
Well, it's like Brian Wayne's here. He's been a screwing up to do in a very short period of time.
Well, that's true. Everything in moderation, Bob.
that phrase not as no for the people waving those piss-colored flags.
I have contractors up in the northern part of the state that are ruling the prevailing. I mean, have you heard?
Well, I mean, Bill Cole is because, they're in fairly high wage.
15-year-old car, live in a 60-year-old, money.
Yeah.
But, I pay my tax, my goods locally. Then locally, I know some people don't support as always. I ought to spend money there on something too. And this type of guy did the right thing when I got older. I got out, grade, paid off for me. I had some money I made. Wouldn't we all? Not greedy. I don't want more than I deserve.
Well, but say run into Gerald make. But by the same token, Koch brothers would like a lot of money, and there's that can come from, and one of the places is your hide.
Exactly. See, that's where I don't have more. It's called
Grievous, yes.
As long as I can keep the bill paid and a little jingle in my pocket, I'm not talking no dollars. It's a little bit of money in them. I'm happy.
Trouble.
Like I said, let someone else.
Crimes, and I just won't let you, Gerald. So.
Well, I just don't care. Equal time, money, like share, but you get their fair share. I see they're
going to
share.
Oh yeah.
Okay, thanks, Bob. I'll be in touch with you.
Take care, Jer. Bye. Hey, Jer. Call inside West Virginia, Stan. Thank you. Thank you. No, him and Carl already out and winning. It's really choppy. Oh, we're buffering like crazy. That's why. I apologize for that, but that's the bit of things. I've been muttering and weird time during the program. It's never so. This is something happened. Apologize and. Podcast just perfect. Let's go to the sky. Hey, Bill. Oh.
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah. I gotcha.
Well, I don't want to sit here and I can think of plenty of people I wouldn't know. Answer.
I'm glad I'm
here. I understand what you're doing.
We got a clean bill. The test's fun. Not the hell's.
Yeah, because there's so many things wrong with there's a big problem. My daughter didn't meet to his grown woman. She was having problems with a thing in the uterus, and of course, he killed my sister, so, I'd be bad.
Sir, this is long, but still got to get well.
She's young, and got a situation, and that's my guy, going out there, going down.
Yeah.
Just come from them, and we'll hear.
See, I mean, I spend a lot of time thinking about much on a couple of reasons. One, driving through, seeing the fracks, I love a whole bunch, and the reintroduction bill. Whether it's a coal corporation or a gas corporation, the welding of people who make money simply is not their concession. We're talking about the need of less need for a new bulldozer, okay? Whether or not penary who are in part of their die beneath their contempt. It's not just not within their consideration. It is worrying about people that their point is all these people contemptible to these people.
You remember that scene whenever in the film, that was unbelievable. Gave me a picture of guns that I don't ever see. The Western world out in the, it was a 1960s thing, and but anyway, because those folks just had it, and you talk.
At momentarily, if you want, try to call back in. We just, I'll kind of went sideways, which is kind of a shame. And we're offered up pretty weird. Tell you what, such a big case. Moment for a break and solve. Super music, and then stick around. That's some removals. Hey, the 200 for Spank's birthday. There's 200 dials on the newbies who never can.
Thursday, 12.
This will continue to...
Tom, Republican Bill, again.
This deal is very, very...
That's big in...
We're under assault by mother...
No, in Boston. Way.
State disturbing news about California...
Oil companies, dummies, aquifers...
Butterfly population since 1990.
Help save the...
Mommies and more... Fog.com.
I'm Dead Oyen.
Stand by. Independent green... Picks, analysis and...
Even a president's own state... 42,000 new...
Department doesn't say that.
President standing with a bunch of...
Anarchists...
People and say, yeah, the Keystone Pipeline.
It's only a minority of American XL Pipeline... Well, those anarchists are for news reports. Okay, Dan, just to clear here, the State Department did not find that the Keystone XL pipeline would create 42,000 new jobs, but the fair find would create 4 new jobs. So, Speaker John, only off by 1,900.
Fudging the numbers on,
just,
yeah.
But then again, leftist or anybody you know.
Well, I do. Representatives passed the XL pipeline bill to force approval. 29 Democrats in the House voted yes. 1 Republican, Justin Amash of Michigan, voted no.
Why did he vote no?
He said he's against special legislation for 1 private company to bypass the regulatory process.
Good for Congressman Amash. A little bit of intellectual honesty there. Appreciated.
Doesn't matter because President Obama has still promised to veto, and they still don't have enough votes to override that. Meanwhile, renewable energy is booming in the good, not explosive kind of way. Apple Computer CEO Tim Cook announced that Apple 150 to build a massive farm. It's part of the 100% renewable sources. Data centers are all by renewables. Snowfall across area from a extreme storm on the way. These infrastructure hole in its budget.
Like it, they're calling. And it feels like we're sure.
Boston has its average snow last 3 weeks. Moving all that pollution, costing the city dumped in the ocean, but preparing for flooding when it melts. But latest American cities got ready to deal with weather events, and in the Department of Homeland Security testified at a Senate hearing that total economic weather events over the 30 have cost the U.S. $5 trillion. Too bad Boston can't to California. Or in Alaska, has forced the dog race to moot for only the second over 40 years. West record warm are waking up early from their winter, according to Ranger National Park in Wyoming. In California, we're heading into its fourth historic drought. Investigation has found, did Californators allow eject production water into federally prepared. They allowed 1,500.
They're injecting wastewater in an area where enough aeration.
Say there's no evidence that contaminated, but they mistake have begun some of those wells. Monarch butterfly in North America have sent to be X in the use of herbicides by 20 years. That's feed the Mark's food store. But good news, the U.S. Wildlife Service won't.
We can mate for the monarch butterfly. Backyards, in state and national. And the magic, if we make the habitat butterflies, we'll
close to plant milkweed.
That is actually U.S. Director Dan Ash, $1 million habitat program. They want to plant milkweed from soda.
Okay, do I get dollars?
$1 million for doing it.
For much more on ones we couldn't get to, check out our website, .bradblog. While you're there, donation to help stay on your hand, plant from bradblog.friedman.
And I'm Desi.
In your green.
Feel like I need to run out and run outside and do butterflies or free dance up there. Not exactly toasty in here. He's in the man. A reminder for his birthday, child. And he's going to catch the first. He's, let me just go. To, I can make a screw. Tom says it's Tom's birthday. Oh, it's idea. Giving birthday. My birthday is this weekend, so let's make this Tom's birthday challenge. Can we do it? So he's seeking to the, he will dust 200. There's a new challenge. If you've ever edited and started, this is a top. Double match it up to 100 by the 21st. A newbie contributions are $200. Meanwhile, there's two a table. That's the birthday challenge. He'll match the first bucks. That, so we're in Boston. The newbie check. Thank you. We are 20 on the way to. Brett didn't get to. Brett got doubled. So the first hobby dog get doubled. And then there's another two on the table. Tell buttons at head on radio. Work mail address also. If you're going to go with the newbie challenge, you have to shoot me an email or put it in the mail on the contribution thing. I've heard before. Double contribution. Okay, will help. Or hopefully that will be an encouragement. Still buffing on. I've been in communications with Ben Birch about it. Pilot here, as have, and we're not sure what's the grand. Let's begin with Bill. Hey, Bill.
Yeah, I started off early with that story with House, and by that, that we would, they call us, you know,
yeah.
That kind of great woman. I still, well, much of me, this looseness, I turn in the middle of, you know, but I was dragging a guy or when he reached out. I had, you said, go out and conjure with this guy, and, he reached the car, grabbed Wendy had hair. She had hair, never, and pulled him out of the all over. They said, Bill, I thought you had spent 4 years in a good old restaurant hall for the business. Not at Bob, you went out to the first environment. It was quite that, I laughed and sorry you said, right? But those, it was a bit of a fluff. He saw it on the way. And they, I said to people, look, this, woman going to, that was a snow husband. And,
everything.
Yeah, I learned soccer because that's all baseball 4 hours, you know, football and back down and now here you are playing for the helmet. You know, when you when my eyes went out on me, I was working in a factory and I took down some oil plaque in my head and the headache too long. But you mess with this kind of rapist guy caught up or an awful way or rape was you caught up and there was somebody who was written by the city of Chicago, a kid named Nick Gravenice, Out of the world out here.
I've been in there. It ain't happening.
Yeah, I guess they have from the Jewish. There's Matt Belvitz, you know, because he spells with the EFH name rather than, you know, or DMT tree, you know, different times. And how are you?
Well, I'm any luck at all, we will get fine.
They are terrific. Everywhere who's shopping and such. Head of it's our case, Wester, and does say he's strapping his old age, you know, but he's still off and go around with his Voigtlander, which the forest are not the same. Just, you know, I guess they're okay, but because I have a collection of Petersburg Battle years old. The one that gets me is you walk in the spot and there's a cross and at the foot of pound. They were at the road, the fucking road, and I said, that's your satellite, you know. Right near the lumber house, you know, there. You know, that group workers did so much. Anyway, I'm all excited. You should go into the sausage grits, you know. But I'm the same way I do it. That Detroit had a place, the Coney Island. I'm a sucker for when it puts me closer to the end life. But at that point, just, you know, I have all a pusher. Never was where I stood up. I pushed the gift money of music and his imagination and the movie To Kill the Irishman. He, my own new Shonder Burr. Let's hand him make a living. White is these bars, one girl, and I think my head on end. I'm sure you've tasted it.
A little bit.
Yeah, did you ever see Robert Mitchum in Thunder Road?
Oh, yeah.
And of course, that was the beginnings of stock car racing, which became what?
NASCAR, sure.
Yeah, you got it. Anyway, you take turn the cars work. I miss when you were in D.C., it was a conversation with the second witch. She, again, I believe she had ground, and you say to me, and everything starts out. your Valentine's Day, watch. I could go out to dinner on Valentine's. First thing you did is you got his menu. Race is great. Had it been out through a revolver crowded, you know. And let's sell them. The best movie, though, was a Holiday Inn, which Bing Crosby did. And the first time he ever sang and played Christmas, which was Irving Berlin. Go to the holidays. Best, I mean, share his culture and learns from the other fella, you know. Other fella woman now. It's about time they've got her share. So not people. We know them people. Never get past that. Anyway, you take care of yourself.
All right, you have yourself a good evening.
Robert.
Bye. Our buddy is calling from... And again, my apologies for offering. And people listening on podcast are going, oh. But yeah, my apologies for all the buffering. It has made the live portion of the program listenable. And thanks to those who have hung around in the chat, the same. It's about 28 minutes before the hour. I think I'll knock off. I've gotten 2 hours of radio in this evening, and I'll be honest, I am dog tired. It's been on vacation, and after I can start calling around and sorting things out and hopefully find out what the fuck is going on, because I sure want it gone by the time Friday front port. Do please, there is a huge out on the table, right? Chance for all their money. He's to double. Give Tom, he's having a hop. Giving received birthday to Tom, and if you want to pay it and sure he doubled, this is the time to do it, and it not come at a bad time, and you ever contributed to the poor, and started, well, the first $100 from people who've never paid for gets doubled. In other words, you aggregate 100 get three. That is an awesome way to put the horn. Everybody, thank you to all of you who listen to the program. Thank you for being your program to begin this evening. To our all volunteers, Lottie and Betsy, our news ninjas, Jean and Susan and Carol Baker. Thank you to our, well, Ender, Tech Guru, Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch. Ben jumped right out there and restarted the streaming of the Rose Society. But the issue, White Rose Society, remember, the White Rose has been out there since 2002. That's how long Ben Birch has been saving radio on air. And just about anybody in progressive talk has been aided by Ben Birch and the White Rose Society at some point in the last 13 years. There is progressive radio on the Internet, largely because Ben Birch proved that it could be done. Thanks go out to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and ACHECT, ACHEACT.org. This is an historic anniversary, with the ACHECT having been reintroduced today in the Congress of the United States. Please get behind this grassroots effort. It relies entirely upon the grassroots. Reach out to your member of the House of Representatives and representatives and your senators and tell them you want in the House H.R. 912. You want them to sponsor it, and you want it passed into law. H.R. 912, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, the ACE Act. And, of course, always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.